From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Sheet Metal Workers Local 2. Demand metal excellence. Schneider Trucking. Now hiring drivers. Visit SchneiderTrucking.com. Capital Federal. True Blue for over 130 years. You've been listening to Kansas City Royals Baseball on the Royals Radio Network.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
This Odyssey Sports broadcast has been presented by Health Markets. Shop for health insurance your way.
Welcome into Vern's postgame show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right. Good evening. Okay, I see where you're at, text line. I see you. X. Twitter, I see your social media. Wow, just getting logged in for the night. And okay, maybe we're all not handling this one in stride. You know what? Let me give you the phone number right out of the gate. Maybe it's going to be one of those type of nights. Let's get weird. All right. Phone line is open for you. The text line is always there as well. 913-586-7610. Game one in Seattle in the books. And game one goes to the Mariners, final score 6-2. Look, you were forewarned. If you were listening to the On Deck show, if you heard me earlier today on with Fesco in the morning, you knew what to expect. You knew what this Mariners team had waiting for the Royals when they arrived in Seattle. A team that I thought sports the best rotation in the American League, and it was on display tonight with their representative on this Monday evening, George Kirby. 7 shutout innings. 3 hits, no walks, 6 punchouts. Now, thanks to George Kirby, because he tried to give the Royals a chance. He was like the really fast kid in school. I'll give you a head start. He tried to help the Royals out earlier, but then he locked it in. Boy, did he ever. Retiring the side in order in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th innings. Retiring 13 straight batters in the heart of this game, and the Royals drop game one in Seattle. Phone lines are open for you again, 913-586-7610. Offensively, the Royals go 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position, but it felt over early. Brady Singer gives up a 2-run home run in the 2nd inning, gives up 2 more in the 3rd, and then he grinds through 5, and Tyler Duffy and Angel Zerpa kept it close. Royals made it close with a 2-run double from Michael Massey in the 8th inning, but it never felt as if we were truly going to get past that missed opportunity in the 1st and 2nd innings. Bases loaded, 1 out. When you don't score in the 1st inning, bases loaded, 1 out, against a pitcher the caliber of George Kirby, against a first-place team like the Seattle Mariners, you know you're going to be chasing that for most of the evening, and it certainly was hanging out there even when the game was close, even when it was 4-2 heading to the bottom of the 8th inning. Again, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We can go over that 1st inning if you want. Because again, George Kirby did you a favor. It wasn't as if Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez did all that much to earn those hit-by-pitches. Okay, Salvador Perez saw 8 pitches in that plate appearance in the 1st inning, if you missed it. Michael Garcia lined out to right field to open up this game, and then Bobby reaches on a, great job by the still 23-year-old. Outstanding stuff from Bobby there in the first inning as he fights one off, fastball running in. He fights it to the opposite field, and then Vinny's plunked and Salvi's plunked, and you have the bases juiced with one out. And then George Kirby just straight up bullied Michael Massey. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Here's 97. Get some. Catch up. And Massey couldn't. Nelson Velasquez then grounded out. So you left the bases loaded with one out. You know the old adage. Maybe you don't view George Kirby as an ace. Okay, let's call him a really good starting pitcher then. I understand his ERA was in the fours when this game started. He's much better than that. His defense has let him down time in and time out. Not tonight. They tried to. The Mariners' defense helped out on that two-run double from Michael Massey. But when you don't capitalize early, when you have one of the fastest players in the sport on second base with two outs and the lineup turned over in the second inning, and the only reason Dyrone Blanco's on second base is because of a catcher's interference and a stolen base, man, you'd love to capitalize there. I know there's two outs, but it's your leadoff hitter and Michael Garcia with Bobby Witt Jr. waiting on deck. Michael, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, I'm fair to expect those dudes to come through. Michael unable to as he gets choked by a 96-mile-per-hour two-seamer from George Kirby in that second inning. So the Royals had opportunities in the first and second. It slips through their fingers, and they would never have the chance, really, again. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Rick in Blue Springs. Rick, you're hitting leadoff. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Sir, and I, George Kirby pitched well. We didn't take advantage when we had, like you said, I have an issue. Nelson Velasquez has his, it's damn near 100 at-bats without a home run with him. And he's had, I think, one RBI in his last 67 at-bats, 22 games. And six of his eight RBIs came in games we won by more than nine runs. Mm. So I think, and him in right field, I just don't think he provides enough defense. I want to go to the minor leagues and bring somebody now. I know you don't like that, but that's my opinion. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm not going to fight you. Rick, I'm not going to fight you. You came with the statistics that I appreciate. You know I appreciate. The only thing you could have done to really make me happy was give me a name. But you know what? Because your point is solid, Drew Waters, there's a name. Nick Lofton, there's another name. The reason why I've been fine with Nelson Velasquez, begrudgingly fine, is because of the home run possibility, the potential. Nick Lofton's not bringing that. Sure, he'll bring a better batting average and probably a better on-base percentage, but he's not going to be able to change the game with one swing the way that Nelson Velasquez did in the second half of last season, did in the first week of this season, but really hasn't since. You heard Rick allude to it. Yeah, it's 109 plate appearances since Nelson Velasquez's last home run. It's the fifth game of the year, or at least the fifth day of April, let me put it that way. Yeah, I have no... The reason why Nelson Velasquez made this team wasn't like he earned it in spring training. No, he earned it last year with that prodigious power. If you're not hitting home runs, if you're not hitting for extra base power on a consistent basis, I don't know what he brings to the team right now. No, it's a fair point, Rick. But it sounds like you know where I stand on the 13th of May. I'm not overly concerned about the offense, the bullpen, the lineup, tinkering, moving this guy up or down, cutting him, calling him up. The only thing I care about until the calendar flips to June is health. Maintain your health, maintain your depth, maintain till May. That's where I'm at. Things are going too well. The only way I'll change that opinion is if this elite pitching starts to come back down to earth. If this elite defense or this elite team speed begin to fall off. I don't see it happening. But if it does indeed happen, well, okay. Then you need to focus a little bit more attention on the lineup. But I'm not there right now. 913-586-7610. As far as Brady Singer, haven't even mentioned the starting pitcher. That lets you know that he, well, I guess I did mention him, but didn't really focus much on Brady Singer. Understandably so. He just wasn't very good. Now, poor command throughout. Now, a slider hanging to Cal Rowley in the second inning is followed by a pipe shot fastball right down the gut.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
To Luke Raley for a two-run home run. Very next inning. Okay, Julio Rodriguez, nice job fighting that sinker in, fighting it to the opposite field, but that's a pitch up to Jorge Polanco. Sure, Tyrone Blanco didn't really help him out much in center field defensively. I think Kyle Isbell makes that play. You know what? Tyrone Blanco's got to wear one of those four runs that were charged to Brady Singer, in my opinion. Yes, it would have been a spectacular play if Blanco made it. But it's the type of spectacular play that Kyle Isbell makes. So you know what? Maybe it's not on Blanco. Maybe that fourth run is on the coaching staff for giving Blanco the start. Maybe. But as I say that, it's not as if it was a well-executed pitch to Cal Rowley that led to that RBI single to deep center field as Tyrone Blanco tried to make the catch leaping at the wall but came up just short. Maybe didn't need to leap at the wall. But yeah, Singer was leaving it up to Rowley there on that RBI single. Another pitch right over the heart of the plate to Luke Raley for his RBI single. And then it's 4-0 after three. And George Kirby locks it in. It just started dominating. Just dominating. Well, someone that had a front row seat for it all joins us now. Jason out in Washington. He's been a supporter of the show all season. Tonight he was a supporter of the Royals in the building, repping his Mike Sweeney number 29 jersey. Jason, tell me about the experience. What was it like?
Oh my gosh, Vern, thanks for taking my call, man. I'm not kidding around when I say this has got to be top notch, like birth of my children. Amazing. Just like, wow. Sensory overload, bro. Like, I was standing next to Q's cousin. I met Q. I was standing next to a college teammate of Adam Frazier, a college friend. Him. I got a picture with Bobby. I was talking to yeah, bro. He said, I got a bunch of autographs. I was talking to Jake, and he
Jake Eisenberg, right?
Did you get the video?
He did. He sent me the video of you two shouting me out and all the kind things that you had to say.
Oh my gosh, man, you're incredible. I just like, seriously.
Well, real quick, Jason, I appreciate you saying all that, but I really didn't do all that much. It's that Royals team, man. It's Sam Mellinger and Nick Cappell and Ian Kraft and Logan Jones and that PR department and the organization, man. They're behind it. I just kind of facilitated it.
Well, if it weren't for you, man, and you, me wanting to listen to you every night and your feedback and your honesty, bro, I mean, just the thought of it relaying down the pipeline, man, of like, oh,
sure.
Jake, are you the guy that was planning on wearing the Sweeney's? It was just incredible, man.
Yeah.
I just can't thank you enough. just yeah, it sucks that we lost, but I think you kind of already answered my question. But when the Singer, were his pitches up when the Mariners knocked him around?
Yeah, he was middle most of the night. I mean, most, and he was getting hit hard. I mean, you look throughout at least my little notebook here, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 exit velocities north of 100 miles per hour. He was getting rocked tonight.
It's just incredible how different it feels when you're there versus on TV.
Sure.
So, but just thank you for all you guys, Sam, and shout out to all the love. Go Royals. Hopefully we'll get them tomorrow, but just an incredible experience. Win or lose, it was just incredible, incredible experience. Thank you so much, Vern.
Well, that's nice to hear, Jason. Appreciate it, buddy. Phone line open for you, 913-586-7610. Royals fall in Seattle. Game one goes to the Mariners. Final count, 6-2. He mentions he had a chance to get a picture with Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby continues to do his thing. He went 1-for-4, scored another run. Bobby's 38th run scored this season. That's the most in Major League Baseball. His 51st hit, that's top 10 in baseball. He now has 87 total bases. That's seventh most in the show. Let's go to Raj in the Ozarks. You're on 610 Sports Radio. What's it like out there tonight, Raj?
It's pretty balmy out here. Vern, we're getting ready for the cicada apocalypse down here coming up. The 17-year and 13-year locust, both at the same time.
Let's
coming
go.
Out of the ground. If you've never experienced it, there's about a trillion of those little black and orange things. And I will be coming up to the city to try to watch. Am I saying his name right, Vern, for Detroit? Skubal?
You got it. Tarik Skubal. Yep.
Yeah, that pitcher. I think Detroit's coming up there to play in late May, and that's, Vern, not since 1803 in the Louisiana Purchase and Thomas Jefferson was president have both those cicadas come out of the ground at the same time. That shows you how wild it's going to be down here.
Heck yeah.
I wish we would have got to Kirby early in the game, but, man, we were right there on the verge of it, and if you don't get those good pitchers early, usually
yep. –
you know, they escape and breathe some new life in him. And, boy, I just shook my head. We almost had him on the ropes there for a minute. Vern, did you – Tom Verducci from Sports Illustrated wrote a great article this morning.
And I love Tom Verducci. I didn't see it.
A lot of it is what you've been saying. The gap between the minors and the majors is like the biggest it's ever been. So just because a guy's doing good in the minors doesn't mean he's going to come up here and – do worth a darn, which I thought was a real eye-opener, and you've been saying that. But, you know, I look at the box scores about every morning, and I thought I was seeing something, and Verducci put the stats with it. And he said, this year there's fewer hits per game since the mound was lowered in 1969. And I knew that because I was only seeing 6, 7, 8 hits for a team per game. That's a hell of a stat. And batting average on balls in play is the lowest in 32 years. So it's not just our outfielders struggling hitting the ball. His whole premise of his article was that pitching development has jumped so far ahead of the hitting that just hitting the ball is almost impossible. I think that was even the
It already was,
title of his article.
Raj. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it already was next to impossible, and now all of the computers and cameras. Sure, they're trying to help out the hitters, but they're there to help the pitching because pitching is the currency in the sport.
You know, and I got. It's hard to get your mind, if you're an older guy like me in your 60s, it's hard to get your mind out of that frame of back when you looked up at the scoreboard and if a guy wasn't, you know, 280 or up.
Man.
You know, that's how far back, and I got to get myself out of that frame of mind because the game's completely changed.
Yep, it's like, OPS, it's weighted runs created, it's all that crap. Yeah, no. It's tough, and I'm, you know, I try not to sound like a know-it-all when diehard baseball fans call up and they want to understandably complain about the offense because when they look up at the Crown Vision, they see a bunch of guys hitting 230 and 240 and 245, and it seems bad because that's how we were raised, and yet you look at the game right now, the average big leaguer has a batting average of 240. So if you're hitting 245,
you're, exactly right,
you're better than the average big leaguer.
I think he's got in his article that home runs this year are 16% down from last year. And I thought, well, he almost answered every question I had. I really appreciate him writing that article because it validated
great.
A lot
he's
of
great.
Things. But
yep.
Last year on May 12th, the batting average was 247. And I thought, you know, well, hell, the guys start really hitting the ball in the summer. You know, if we can just get to summer. Well, it only went up 2 points last year.
Yeah, it's not
after
changing.
May 12th.
No doubt.
No.
No doubt.
So I was way off on that one. But
well, you're
anyways,
not going to go.
Looking... Go ahead.
Yeah,
Vern.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Raj, I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the phone call, buddy. Thank you very much. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. Raj is just a good dude. Good dude, great baseball fan, even better man. Phone lines are open. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. Royals lose game one in Seattle. The record is now 25-18. The Royals are a half game back of the Minnesota Twins for second place, a game and a half back of the pace set by the Cleveland Guardians in the American League Central. Phone lines, 913-586-7610. We'll get back to them right after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. Breaking ball ripped into right center field, down into the gap, a base hit. Wentz in to score, Pasquantino heads to third. The ball gets by all the way to the track. Pasquantino rumbles around third. He's in to score standing. Michael Massey has a two-run double. The Royals are on the board. They've cut the deficit in half.
Man on second, following that two-run double from Michael Massey. Yeah, the boys were in business. Jake Eisenberg on the call last heard here on 610 Sports Radio. So Michael Massey with that two-out, two-run double, misplayed by the combination of Julio Rodriguez and Mitch Haniger there in right center field. Royals were in business. Game-tying run coming to the dish in the form of Nelson Velasquez. The man on second and two outs, he swings through a slider and strikes out. Rough night for Nelson Velasquez. He came to the dish in the first with the bases loaded and two outs, grounded out. Came to the plate in the seventh inning with the man on and nobody out. Okay, came through, single to left. Way to go, Nelly. I believe Velasquez has a hit in four straight games. That's not really why you're here. We're not, need some extra base pop from Nelson Velasquez. And then comes up in the eighth inning with a man in scoring position and punches out once again. So 4-2 heading to the bottom of the eighth inning. Chris Stratton comes out of the bullpen. Gives up a two-run home run to Ty France, 6-2 Mariners after eight, and that would be your final score. Seattle 6, Kansas City 2. Chris Stratton throwing three straight sliders to Ty France. The last two were in the middle of the plate, and France didn't miss the second one, belting it for a two-run shot after. You know, I'll tip my cap to Luke Grayley. That dude had a great night. It doesn't hurt that Brady Singer was throwing him right across the dish to him, but a nice hit against Chris Stratton in the eighth inning. That was a well-executed pitch, just a better swing by Luke Grayley. Stratton, by the way, has allowed multiple runs in four of his 17 appearances this season. All right, phone lines are open for you. My game notes following this 6-2 loss are brought to you by Jay's South Lanteau. Be in the know when call Jay's South Lanteau. Let's go to the text line. Katie in North Carolina writes in, Vern, maintaining is great, but I want to see them capitalize on those first inning chances with runners in scoring position. I'm proud the boys keep getting those chances. Just want to see them come through. Go Royals. Signed, Katie. Appreciate you listening. Now, I understand 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position tonight, nothing to celebrate. But for the most part, coming into this game, the Royals gave you plenty to celebrate. when it comes to runners in scoring position. Coming into the game tonight, the Royals were hitting .301 with runners in scoring position. Now that's top five in Major League Baseball. Top three, I believe, in Major League Baseball coming into the game. The 1-for-9 will definitely ding that number somewhat, but I can promise you they're still holding their own. Speaking of which, they're still top 10, despite the four-run loss. Still top 10 run differential. The plus 45 mark is seventh best in Major League Baseball. From the 816, it just simply says Drew Waters with a bunch of exclamation points after it. Waters, yeah, hitting well down in Omaha. But Raj is 100% right. A lot of guys are hitting well in Omaha. Well, why not call up Nate Eaton then? I don't know why it always feels like I'm trashing Nate Eaton. I'm not. He's a terrific baseball player. He's playing AAA baseball. Good for him. You know how many guys never have the chance to play AAA baseball? Congratulations, Nate Eaton. Drew Waters hitting .303 in his first 30 games in Omaha. Last year, he hit .327 in Omaha. And he hit .309 in 2019 in minor league baseball. It's minor league baseball. He also has 33 strikeouts in 30 games in AAA this year. So what do you think is more likely going to continue at the big league level? A .303 batting average, a .900 OPS, or the 33 punchouts in 30 games? I hope it's the batting average. And again, I'm not against seeing Drew Waters or Nick Lofton take the place of Nelson Velasquez. Because you know, Waters can defend. Waters can play a better corner outfield than Nelson Velasquez. Now, Nick Lofton might play a better corner outfield than Nelson Velasquez. Not that he was bad tonight. I'm not trying to denigrate his defensive performance in this one. It's more to pump up Drew Waters and pump up Nick Lofton. 913-586-7610. From the 913, our friend Bad Moke writing in. Vern, the lack of offense with batters 5 through 9 and no situational hitting in those early innings besides, other than Singer, that's what cost us the game tonight, was that offensive performance. Vern, I believe this series will show what kind of team we really are. I'm not being negative, I'm just being realistic. All right. Yeah, situational hitting. Yeah, Michael Massey, you can't punch out there. Bases loaded, one out. You got to put the ball in play. I agree. But did you watch that at bat? I'm not going to trash Michael Massey because he just got straight up worked by George Kirby. And I think George Kirby would have worked a lot of left-handed hitters with those three pitches he showed Michael Massey. You know, other than that, what situational hitting are you talking about? Yeah, hitting, yeah, I wanted Nelson Velasquez to hit with two outs and the bases loaded, but you know the situation calls for a hit, nothing else. Mikel Garcia with a man on second and two outs in the second inning, the situation calls for you to hit the ball in play. And yeah, he punched out, looking. But if you go back and look at that at-bat, man, I'm hitting you with a Rex Hudler curtsy as I walk back to the dugout because George Kirby worked him over as well. Yeah, you say Singer got squeezed, whatever. Oh. You know what else? He also got rocked. Now, Cal Raleigh, 102 off the bat. In the second inning, 107 in the third, 106 in the fourth. You know, Rojas is tagging him. Luke Raley stayed tagging Brady Singer. He wasn't getting squeezed. He was throwing it right over the heart of the plate, and they were demolishing it. Singer wasn't bad. I'm not saying he was bad tonight. He gave him a chance to win, five innings and a chance to win. He hasn't had, in my opinion, Singer hasn't had a bad start this year. Nine starts in, he's given you a chance to win all nine times. It's his best nine starts, his best starts to a season in his career. His best nine starts to a season in his big league career. You know, following tonight's five innings of four-run baseball, his ERA balloons to 2.84. He's still giving you 5 2/3 on average every time he takes the ball. Singer has 52 strikeouts in 51 innings, and he ranks top 25 in the sport in both ERA and opponent's batting average. So, look, and I'm not saying that the game was so out of reach, that Brady Singer was getting beaten up so much that the game was a bloodbath. No. Now, he took a beating, but you know who Brady Singer is by now. He's not going to cower. He's not going to, you know, crawl up into the fetal position. He's going to battle. He's going to fight, and he did. 108 pitches gets him through five innings of four-run baseball. Six strikeouts, only one walk for Brady Singer. And as far as this series showing what kind of team this really is, I guess I would like for you to expand on that. You say you're not being negative, just realistic. I don't think it's a negative opinion. I'm just... So if they lose this series, they lose 2 of 3. That says what? What does it say? Let me know. 913-586-7610. I'll dive a little bit deeper into that. Give you my thoughts on that. But I want to hear from you. 913-586-7610. Royals lose game one in Seattle, 6-2 the final score. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Set by the Cleveland Guardians in the American League Central. Phone lines 913-586-7610. We'll get back to them right after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. Breaking ball ripped into right center field, down into the gap, a base hit. Winston to score, Pasquantino heads to third. The ball gets by all the way to the track. Pasquantino rumbles around third. He's in to score standing. Michael Massey has a two-run double. The Royals are on the board. They've cut the deficit in half.
Man on second, following that two-run double from Michael Massey. Yeah, the boys were in business. Jake Eisenberg on the call last heard here on 610 Sports Radio. So Michael Massey with that two-out, two-run double, misplayed by the combination of Julio Rodriguez and Mitch Haniger there in right center field. Royals were in business. Game-tying run coming to the dish in the form of Nelson Velasquez. The man on second and two outs, he swings through a slider and strikes out. Rough night for Nelson Velasquez. He came to the dish in the first with the bases loaded and two outs, grounded out. Came to the plate in the seventh inning with a man on and nobody out. Okay, came through, single to left. Way to go, Nelly. I believe Velasquez has a hit in four straight games. That's not really why you're here. We're not... need some extra base pop from Nelson Velasquez, and then comes up in the eighth inning with a man in scoring position and punches out once again. So 4-2, heading to the bottom of the eighth inning, Chris Stratton comes out of the bullpen, gives up a two-run home run to Ty France, 6-2 Mariners after eight, and that would be your final score. Seattle 6, Kansas City 2. Chris Stratton throwing three straight sliders to Ty France. The last two were in the middle of the plate, and France didn't miss the second one, belting it for a two-run shot after. You know, I'll tip my cap to Luke Rayleigh. That dude had a great night. It doesn't hurt that Brady Singer was throwing him right across the dish to him, but a nice hit against Chris Stratton in the eighth inning. That That was a well-executed pitch, just a better swing by Luke Rayleigh. Stratton, by the way, has allowed multiple runs in four of his 17 appearances this season. All right, phone lines are open for you. My game notes following this 6-2 loss are brought to you by Jay's South Lanto. Be in the know when called Jay's South Lanto. Let's go to the text line. Katie in North Carolina writes in, Vern, maintaining is great, but I want to see them capitalize on those first inning chances with runners in scoring position. I'm proud the boys keep getting those chances. Just want to see them come through. Go Royals. Signed, Katie. Appreciate you listening. Now, I understand 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position tonight, nothing to celebrate. But for the most part, coming into this game, the Royals gave you plenty to celebrate when it comes to runners in scoring position. Coming into the game tonight, the Royals were hitting .301 with runners in scoring position. Now that's top five in Major League Baseball. Top three, I believe, in Major League Baseball coming into the game. The 1-for-9 will definitely ding that number somewhat, but I can promise you they're still holding their own. Speaking of which, they're still top 10, despite the 4-run loss. Still top 10 run differential. The plus 45 mark is 7th best in Major League Baseball. From the 816, it just simply says Drew Waters with a bunch of exclamation points after it. Waters, yeah, hitting well down in Omaha. But Raj is 100% right. A lot of guys are hitting well in Omaha. Why not call up Nate Eaton then? I don't know why it always feels like I'm trashing Nate Eaton. I'm not. He's a terrific baseball player. He's playing AAA baseball. Good for him. You know how many guys never have the chance to play AAA baseball? Congratulations, Nate Eaton. Drew Waters hitting .303 in his first 30 games in Omaha. Last year, he hit .327 in Omaha. And he hit .309 in 2019 in minor league baseball. It's minor league baseball. He also has 33 strikeouts in 30 games in AAA this year. So what do you think is more likely going to continue at the big league level? A .303 batting average, a .900 OPS, or the 33 punchouts in 30 games? I hope it's the batting average. And again, I'm not against seeing Drew Waters or Nick Lofton take the place of Nelson Velasquez. Because you know, Waters can defend. Waters can play a better corner outfield than Nelson Velasquez. Now, Nick Lofton might play a better corner outfield than Nelson Velasquez. Not that he was bad tonight. I'm not trying to denigrate his defensive performance in this one. It's more to pump up Drew Waters and pump up Nick Lofton. 913-586-7610. From the 913, our friend Bad Moke writing in. Vern, the lack of offense with batters 5-9 and no situational hitting in those early innings besides, other than Singer, that's what cost us the game tonight, was that offensive performance. Vern, I believe this series will show what kind of team we really are. I'm not being negative, I'm just being realistic. All right. Situational hitting. Yeah, Michael Massey, you can't punch out there. Bases loaded, one out. You got to put the ball in play. I agree. But did you watch that at bat? I'm not going to trash Michael Massey because he just got straight up worked by George Kirby. And I think George Kirby would have worked a lot of left-handed hitters with those three pitches he showed Michael Massey. You know, other than that, what situational hitting are you talking about? Yeah, hitting, yeah, I wanted Nelson Velasquez to hit with two outs and the bases loaded, but you know, the situation calls for a hit, nothing else. Mikel Garcia with a man on second and two outs in the second inning, the situation calls for you to hit the ball in play. And yeah, he punched out, looking. But if you go back and look at that at-bat, man, I'm hitting you with a Rex Hudler curtsy as I walk back to the dugout, because George Kirby worked him over as well. Yeah, you say Singer got squeezed, whatever. Oh, you know what else? He also got rocked. Now, Cal Raleigh, 102 off the bat in the second inning, 107 in the third, 106 in the fourth. You know, Rojas is tagging him. Luke Raley stayed tagging Brady Singer. He wasn't getting squeezed. He was throwing it right over the heart of the plate, and they were demolishing it. Singer, by the way, Singer wasn't bad. I'm not saying he was bad tonight. He gave him a chance to win, five innings and a chance to win. He hasn't had, in my opinion, Singer hasn't had a bad start this year. Nine starts in, he's given you a chance to win all nine times. It's his best nine starts, his best starts to a season in his career. His best nine starts to a season in his big league career. You know, following tonight's five innings of four-run baseball, his ERA balloons to 2.84. He's still giving you 5 2/3 on average every time he takes the ball. Singer has 52 strikeouts in 51 innings, and he ranks top 25 in the sport in both ERA and opponent's batting average. So, look, and I'm not saying that the game was so out of reach, that Brady Singer was getting beaten up so much that the game was a bloodbath. No, no. Now, he took a beating, but you know who Brady Singer is by now. He's not going to cower. He's not going to, you know, crawl up into the fetal position. He's going to battle. He's going to fight, and he did. 108 pitches gets him through five innings of four-run baseball. Six strikeouts, only one walk for Brady Singer. And as far as this series showing what kind of team this really is, I guess I would like for you to expand on that. You say you're not being negative, just realistic. I don't think it's a negative opinion. I'm just... So if they lose this series, they lose two of three, that says what? What does it say? Let me know. 913-586-7610. I'll dive a little bit deeper into that, give you my thoughts on that. But I want to hear from you. 913-586-7610. Royals lose game one in Seattle, 6-2 the final score. We get back to your thoughts after this.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.